At this time, I'll call the June 10th, 2020 Macon County Finance Committee to order. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Here.
Deborah Crowe.
Here.
Kevin Greenfield.
Here.
Greg Maddie.
Here.
Jim Brescia.
Here.
Lauren Zimmerman.
Here.
Helena Buckner.
Here.
We have 7 of 7 quorum present.
Thank you. Mr. Beckett, do you have anything to present before we start?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as before, would ask all members to please state your name before speaking so that we can properly record who is speaking. As well, make sure not to talk over each other so that there's no issues with communication and with the recording that will be broadcast to the public both contemporaneously and afterward.
Thank you. Any discussion on the claims? Entertain a motion on the claims department.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. I know I jumped out of there. Entertain a motion for the prior meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Reports, audit subcommittee.
This is Carol. The audit itself is just about done. We're waiting on a few things. The ETSB is a component unit of the county, and as such, we're waiting for their audit to get finished so we can put it with our audit and combine the statements. So everything's about done. We're getting close. So I would think we'll probably try to set up, you know, some kind of audit meeting or some subcommittee meeting of the audit committee to meet in the next few weeks or so. As for the auditor's report, I think I sent statements to everyone. We finally got them done yesterday. We know how much we're getting for sales tax now, and it is 83.6% of the normal monthly amount for the month of April, so it's down 16.4%. I made a projection as to what it could be by the end of the year if next month continues that way, if May's like that, but it should come back up in June, July, through the end of the year, and it's more likely that we'll probably lose about $300,000 in sales tax, $313,000 in sales tax over the course of the year. Added to that would be some fees that we're not collecting because we're closed or whatever, circuit clerk fees or state's attorney fees or whatever kind of fees that there are. So, you know, it'll be a little bit more than that, but it came out better than I thought it would, I think. So that's kind of where we are now.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're also looking at possible income tax being short.
Income tax, it could be delayed in receiving it, yes. So it's one of those things that is not sure how it's going to affect everything. But, yes, that's correct.
And then weren't we actually going to be short on it, Carol, a little bit?
We'll be short on it if it's not collected. I mean, I don't know. Because income tax comes from the state. We get a percentage of what they collect. Theoretically, we should get it all, but it could be short.
Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry. I'm going to remind you to speak directly into your microphone because you won't be picked up on the podcast or on for the telephonic members.
I know there was the income tax, and then we talked yesterday about something else as well.
What was the sales tax? Personal property tax.
Property tax, I guess.
The real estate taxes, yes.
Yeah.
That should all be collected, but it may be delayed.
So would it be fair to say you could use the same assumption with the percentages of lost revenue for every department that has a revenue source? Like you said, fees, state's attorney.
Perhaps.
Clerk, all of it.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
According to some information the state put out, and this has been a couple months ago, Using their figures, I projected that our income tax is going to be short, like about $134,000, just using some of the figures that they put out. I don't know. I mean, that's a, you know, who knows, but and I had projected on the sales tax, basing on what they said, of a shortage of $381,000. So I like your numbers a lot better.
I mean,
because
I
you had actual numbers. This was just a guess.
Right. I do have a worst-case scenario was 386.
Okay.
But I was hoping it was the better case. So, yes, that could be close.
Thank you, Carol. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion?
If you looked at the claims, there was a $50,000 expenditure in there that we had to borrow money out of, and that was for what? For payroll, Carol? Is that
what? Was one of the funds was short. Yes, so we did make a temporary borrowing from the judgment fund, but that should get paid back rather soon, or at least by when
we get our tax money.
As soon as we get our tax money, yes.
You say one of the funds was short. Was that something that was supposed to be paid out of that fund and there was no money?
Yes.
So
they were short on cash.
Did the money that was borrowed go into that fund as opposed to the general fund? Or
The general fund, I don't think, had anything to do with it.
Okay.
It was borrowed from the judgment fund.
Okay. Any other discussion? Thank you, Carol. Board of Review. Hi, Kim.
Hi, it's Kim with the Supervisor of Assessments Office. For Board of Review, Monday, June 1st, the Board of Review met to hold their organizational meeting. They adopted the rules for 2020 and appointed a chair. So they're ready to get the season started. That's all I have for Board of Review. For GIS, I don't have a report this month. And for the Supervisor of Assessments, the Township Assessor's books are due June 15th. So as of now, we don't have any of those turned in yet, but we're expecting those in the next few days. And that's all I have for the Supervisor of Assessments.
And so how many townships? You do some of them, correct?
Yes, we do four townships.
That's right.
Yep.
Any questions?
And that replacement that you emailed about, that's for the Board of Review, Tom?
That's for the Farmland Committee.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have a couple that are interested or potentials that I can work with the county board on if they need some names.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Treasurer, Mr. Yoder.
I have one resolution tonight, Macon County Board resolution to execute deeds to convey property on which taxes were delinquent.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Any citizens' remarks?
There were none.
Mr. Chairman, my indication is that no citizens' remarks were received, but the email address within the deadline as set forth in the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Baggett. Any old business? New business? Lease agreement. We do have what is a resolution on that? Is there a number? A number, okay. We do have one resolution. It's Macon County Board resolution to approve the lease renewal agreement with Senator Andy Menard's office. I so move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mrs. Zimmerman, we have your resolution for the budgetary action. Do you want to read that or want me to?
Well, I just have a few comments on it, and if anybody has any discussion on it, I'd be happy to hear any comments. Just a couple of things I wanted to point out, just in some discussions with people and stuff on it. One, it's just really, you know, focused on this fiscal year, which we know, you know, ends in a few months. And so Carol, you know, put together some good data that looks like, you know, we've got about $350,000 less in the revenue that we thought we would, that we need to be dealing with. So that's really what this resolution is addressing. Nothing else, you know, in terms of money that way and revenues and things like that. And that, you know, it's more of a framework for just this short period of time for this particular situation we find ourselves in, not necessarily a way to address the budget as a whole. I know we'll have the budget process coming up, and so that we can think about that separately and, you know, does that make sense? And then the last point I want to make is that it's, you know, we're definitely going to still be dealing with estimates, and this is just a recommendation. So, again, the office holders are able to do what they feel is best, but it gives us a reporting mechanism so that we're aware of what they're doing and how we're getting to that number or as close as we can get to that number within this fiscal year. So those were just kind of some points I wanted to make about it. Thank you.
Thank you. This is the chairman. I'd like to open up discussion of how you'd execute this. What's the indicator that at what point in time do you make any changes?
I mean, what do you mean? Like, where we actually change the budget, or
yeah,
I mean,
if these don't mean anything until you hit a mechanism that would say 10%, 20% down to where you have to make cuts. What would be your KPI?
I think the mechanism is already in place because we see, okay, March was down 7%, April was down 17%. So that's the number that they're trying to reach, right? So we say, okay, well, we're down X number of dollars, so let's see how we can save X number of dollars by doing these things.
So the lagging indicator would say you need to take action for the forward month.
Yes, right, because we're getting that information later. And some of these things they might have already done. You know, we saw that when they reported to us in that when we sent out the questionnaire before. In some cases, a lot of office holders have already taken action, and that would count towards this, and it would just be sort of a reporting mechanism on that as well. You know, some people have canceled travel or they've canceled, you know, whatever they've done to adjust their spending would account to this as well.
I'd like to discuss putting something in place along with this resolution that would say if it's half of the 16.4%, whatever it is, half of the previous month's lost revenue, you'd make changes because it's just verbiage on a piece of paper unless you have something that's going to drive the action. Does that make sense to anyone?
Are you saying like a trigger
yes.
mechanism?
Yes.
I understand your concern about that, but I would say with just the number that we're dealing with on our revenue that I think we need to, in good faith, let the office holders have a chance to do that.
Oh, I'm with you.
Not amend the budget.
I agree, but it's just the honor system now.
Right, and I think that, I mean, they've identified points for cuts and everything, so I don't think they've forced our hand yet.
Mrs.
That's a different voting mechanism if we're going to amend the budget. That's a different set of rules, and I don't think it would fit well within this resolution.
Dr. Zimmerman, I've got a question. Kevin Greenfield. In number two, where it says office holders and department heads will reduce expenses, so if we're low say we're 300,000 last month, we were low. So then how do we divide that up between the office holders to save another $300,000? Is that what we're suggesting? I'm not sure I'm following you.
Well, yeah, so basically, in a sense, yeah, so we were down in March 7%, so that was, I don't know what that number was, you know, that $50,000 or something like that. So then we would just need to show that the office holders have saved somewhere along the line $50,000.
Collectively.
And like I said, they've already identified a good chunk of that already, and so it's mostly just a reporting mechanism at that point. But then it would just continue each month, and so we already know April was down 17%, so then the number grows to that, you know, and then we repeat ourselves in May. Let's say May is probably a little better, 15%, 10%, then that's our next goal to reduce expenses. So it doesn't, the whole fiscal year doesn't have to be cut in 1 month. It's an ongoing process based on when we get new information.
But in the absence of not identifying what those savings are to offset, how do you know? How do you measure it? How do you measure success?
That's what this does. They're reporting that to us so that way we know. Just like they did when they answered our questions before, I added it all up. I put it in an Excel sheet, and it was almost $150,000 that they had already identified. And so that's what this does. It provides, they tell Carol, and Carol tells us, and we see, you know, that's what they've done. Now, if they don't come up with enough, then we can step in later. But like I said, I think giving them the opportunity to do that is, I mean, they've already done it, so we can just keep going with that going forward.
Actually, they haven't. I mean, in the fact that we're down that much money, they haven't offset it.
No, that's the we haven't given them a target yet, right? And that 300,000 that Carol mentioned, that's what we're projecting in the future. So we, of course, we couldn't have expected them to cut $300,000 last month. We didn't ask them to do that, and we didn't need to because we didn't lose $300,000 last month. So this is looking at the budget as a whole, and whatever it was in March, that 7% was something like $30,000 or something like that. Well, in their answers, they had already identified $100,000 of savings, so they already covered March. But this is just a reporting mechanism so that we know that they are doing it.
And what's the reporting mechanism?
Well, that they would tell Carol, they would identify what the savings was, give an estimate. Again, sometimes this is going to, of course, it's going to be estimates in some cases. And then Carol combines that and reports to us at finance and then reports to us at the board meeting.
Carol, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but have you shared that with the finance committee?
You mean the method that we'll do?
All the offsetting savings that she's talking about.
No, I haven't done a total of savings from each department. No, I haven't done anything like that yet. I'm kind of waiting to get directions from.
This is Deborah
Kraft.
Right,
that's what this resolution would have her do. I'm not saying that she has done it yet. That's what this would have her do.
Ms. Kraft?
I just was going to go, and you just said it. Carol has these figures. Carol will know. When the time comes and when it's necessary, you'll know by department where the downfalls are and what they should do. Isn't that correct?
I'm trying to think. Looking at each department, you mean? Right now, I don't know.
I know you don't know, but
right.
I guess what I want to say is you have all the figures. You'll have the information that we need. Correct?
I have the actuals that happen, revenue and expense, but I don't know how much a certain department should, you know, trim or
correct
things,
but they
like
should know that themselves.
True.
One department has already told me her fees have maintained even during the lockdown. Mm-hmm. She reported to me.
But how will they know? I don't, Deb. How will they?
Well, won't they know? they'll know, won't each department know their revenue and their expense?
I mean, I
shortfall from the year before?
I gave each department their statements for last month today. I mean, I guess they would have to do some comparisons and know where they're at.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I don't, and I'm a little bit lost here. I don't know that it's Carol's responsibility to decide how much comes from each department. I just don't, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree.
But each department should have their figures. You know,
they've got them, Deb, but the bottom line is she going to come in and say, okay, Mr. Treasurer, you're going to have to cut, you know.
No.
Correct.
No. Okay.
Well,
I'm done.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Baggett.
Just, Mr. Gresham, to address your point, from a legal point of view, there are certain obligations and duties spelled out for all of the elected office holders by statute. With some of the offices, the auditor being one of them, the county board does have the authority to impose certain other responsibilities and duties on the office holder. If it were the county board's decision to adopt this resolution, and that resolution directs the auditor on a monthly ongoing basis to determine what each department should have to cut in order to make to reach the goal, I guess, of how much of a cut should be made, then the auditor would be able to allocate based on what each department has in general fund expenses in their budget and say, you know, if the treasurer's office constitutes 7 or 8% of the budget versus the sheriff's office, which constitutes, you know, 50% of the budget, then the sheriff is going to have to, you know, make 50% of whatever the goal cut is. And the auditor might be in the best position to do those calculations. And if the board directs the auditor to do so, then that is certainly within the auditor's abilities.
Well, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to clarify that.
I guess my point is this, is that If we come up and we're X number of dollars, our revenue is going to be down this much, and that we want to offset that with a reduction in expenses. Well, we have, you know, we can figure the percentage of the overall budget that that amounts to, and then rather than Carol saying, you know, to each office holder, this is what you have to do, you give them a percentage figure and say this is what it is for every department. I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable with telling, you know, the auditor that, okay, you have to decide which department has to cut what.
No.
It's just got to be across the board, okay, we need a 3% reduction this month or a 10% or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Hence the reason you need KPIs for each department. I mean, for what there's revenue and expenses, it's that simple. Simple math on that side. And then how many, right?
That's what I thought.
I mean, it really is that by department.
Yes, I don't explain myself well, but that's what I was trying to imply.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I misunderstood what you said.
But, you know, I know one department, her fees have maintained compared to last year, even during, you know, so she reported. So I don't know. They each know where they're at.
And that's the only reason I say there has to be a net mechanism that would trigger by department.
But
well, here's
the way, it's
example.
Not on the auditor's shoulders.
We know insurance is going to go up 8%, so they got to find it. You know? That's just one example right mm-hmm. there. So
we're asking them all to cut 8% of their budget?
I didn't. That's not what I said. But they've got to find it for us.
In a sense, it's what she's saying. And that is. I mean, it's who else is going to tell them?
Well, where else?
It's made perfectly clear months ago that the department heads have the final say on everything.
Correct.
What if they don't?
I think Mr. Beckett had made that clear in the past. I mean, there's only so many actions the board can take.
And with respect to the FY20 budget year, as someone indicated earlier, And as I've stated on multiple occasions, the only way that the board can modify those budgets is with a two-thirds majority vote. Based on what I have seen in the last couple of months, I don't think that majority exists.
Absolutely not.
So I think you have to work with what you do have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
tie a trigger to this resolution.
Well, again, if you put a trigger, if you try to implement some type of automatic cut, then that is going to require a two-thirds majority.
To modify this resolution.
If whatever resolution, this resolution or any other resolution that ultimately makes it before the full county board has a mechanism in it which affects a cut in a currently existing budget, then it will require a two-thirds majority vote to pass.
So this is just, in a sense, just general guidance.
The resolution you have before you is a policy-oriented resolution, yep. Not an action-oriented resolution.
A nice to have.
It's guidance, but yep. It's
That's
not.
A good explanation.
It's guidance, but it's not a directive.
That's right.
And there is a difference.
Mr. Gresham?
Mr. Chairman, one of the things that I think everybody needs to keep in mind is that, you know, if an office holder says, I'm not going to cooperate, I'm not going to make any effort, which I would hope that wouldn't happen, but the ultimate penalty for that, and I don't want to use that term, but budget time's coming up.
Yes.
And, you know, I think this Finance Committee, we're all in agreement that we're not going to allow a deficit budget. We're going to have more information about our income at that time. I just think that's something that they've got to be thinking about, and I know they already have with these other things that we've asked them to do over the course of the last couple months.
But very well.
But Mr. Gresham, let's take the coroner, for instance. Where's he going to cut 8%?
Well, I don't think we expect him to. I think, you know, we've got to, you know, there's a couple areas like the coroner, for example. You know, four employees, one part-time, I think.
I think some of them out.
I think, you know, but I think you put it out there and, you know, you see what you get. And I don't, you know, whatever that percentage might be, because I don't know what that would be.
Mrs. Zimmern, do you have something to say?
Yeah, I think Jim kind of had a good point there that, you know, we don't necessarily have to have a trigger in this resolution that, again, I think we can trust our office holders to make a good faith effort to reach the goal, and if they don't, that's, you know, I think we're kind of conflating two things here, the budget that we're going to be creating and then the budget that we're working off of now, and I think Jimmy brought up a good point. They are going to have to be thinking about the budget and making some tough decisions coming through, but I just kind of want to refocus the discussion on the resolution itself, is that, again, it's just dealing with the revenue that we've lost because of the COVID situation, and to that point where they're asking about Carol deciding what each department needs to do, I mean, that can be a collaborative effort. It's not saying that don't want to turn Carol into some kind of dictator saying you need to cut X dollars, but if she talks to the office holder and says, okay, do you think you could do this much, you know, and just making sure that final number adds up is really what, you know, I'm picturing that role of Carol doing, so that she can report to us and say, yeah, it does add up to this, and this is how we got to that.
I know we talked about a month or so ago about $150,000 that we had found. Is that wrote down anywhere, or do we have that to know?
Yeah,
it's in all the reports.
I have it in an Excel file, but all I did was I just went through the answers that the office holders gave, uh-huh. And I just pulled those numbers straight from there. So when they said, okay, if we don't have this collection, you know, electronics collection in May, that saved us X number of dollars. I don't have my computer on, so I can't pull up that Excel file right now, but I can send it out to you guys. I know, you know, one office holder said they could move a salary out of the general fund for a couple of, to the end of the fiscal year, but can't do it long term because of, you know, it's eating into the fund. And that saved us X number of dollars. So that was sort of my best bet, my best guess of putting together what the office holders had answered us. And that was back, you know, when they gave us those, what was that, about a month ago, I think?
Carol,
it was about a month ago.
Were those quantified?
No, I don't. Sorry, I don't have that? The spreadsheet. I don't know.
I was just curious if they're actually quantified and shared.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, I think Deborah came up with the same number.
Yes, I went through those questionnaires and I just added them up. I saw where they could.
No. I'm saying I get that it's on a piece of paper. They said, but have we quantified it in the budget? That they were actual sales. That's what I'm saying.
This is Greg Mattingly. I have a question for Mike. Is our ability as a board only to amend the entire budget as we passed it, if that were the recourse we were taking? Or could we amend a single department's budget while leaving the other budgets untouched? In other words, if an office holder refused to follow these guidelines and just dug in their heels and said, I'm not going to do anything, could we take up their portion, their one office of the budget, as an amendment item?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
That's the
good
trigger
point.
That ought to be.
There you go.
This.
Good point.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is a good
That's
point.
A good way to put it.
But I can't.
The board has no obligation to consider the budget as a whole when it's making an amendment mid-year. So you can consider a line item if you so desire. It's no different than when the board appropriates more money on an emergency basis. That just doesn't require a two-thirds majority. And you do that almost every board meeting on several different resolutions. But yeah, if you are lowering an expense line, that action requires a two-thirds majority.
But we can deal, we could deal with
a recalcitrant
office holder's budget.
Absolutely.
By just after they've gone through these 8 steps and done nothing, and we said if you do this 2 months in a row, we're going to pull this up for action. That triggers the board looking at their budget.
That's absolutely within the board's power.
And that's what I think ought to be in this, Dr. Zimmerman. We can follow all your steps. We can give them 2 months to cooperate. But if an office holder chooses not to cooperate, they ought to know that there is a consequence for that and not simply waiting until next year's budget comes around.
I would point out, Mr. Mattingly, that with respect to the resolution before the committee tonight, again, it depends on how you wanted to phrase what you just put in. You can certainly put in language that, refusal or unwillingness to go along with what is necessary in order to meet these projected or desired cuts will result in additional action by the board. If you try to put a trigger mechanism in there that, you know, a certain consequence will automatically follow without further vote of the board, you will require a two-thirds vote on this resolution. If you want to put language in there identifying the threat of, punitive action in the event of noncompliance, you can do that so long as the actual action doesn't occur as a result of this resolution with only a majority vote.
Trying to think how to phrase it.
Well, just as a question, this is Deb Kraft. If we put a trigger in, then that makes it a directive resolution.
If you put a trigger in there that causes that would cause a budget to be diminished, then that would require a two-thirds vote because you're changing a budget
Correct.
At that point. You are authorizing the changing of a budget. I don't know what language you want to put in here. I'm certain every office holder who is presented with this resolution, if passed, would be aware that the board possesses the ability to take action if the office is non-compliant with the terms of the resolution. If you want to add that language, you certainly are within your power to do so. But if you try to make it into a trigger, an automatic penalty, that will require a two-thirds majority. It also
of
would
the
require
full board.
Of the full board, and would also require a fairly complex statutory scheme to determine exactly what that penalty is going to be, how it's going to look, what it's going to specifically cut. What line item are you going to cut? Are you going to cut the payroll lines? Are you going to cut the expense lines for copy paper? So you, if you put a trigger in there, you're going to need to specify these things from the outset, because you will have to affect a change to a specific line item or line items. I don't know that that's something you can do on a policy basis.
This is Zimmerman.
Mr. Chair, this is Helena.
Helena, go ahead.
Hi. I just want to say that at the end of the day, what we have before us is simply a plan and a tool. So we shouldn't really assume that these office holders won't do their job.
I didn't hear.
Helena, could you say that again, please?
I said what we have before us today is just a plan and a tool. So we should really be assuming that the office holders won't do their jobs.
She's saying this is just a plan and a guidance to, we shouldn't assume the office holders won't do their jobs. I think we're just trying to say that in the event that that happens, if they don't do their job, we have to have the ability to act on it on the county's behalf.
We have the,
and
sorry,
you
Mr.
will.
Chairman. We have the ability. I think it's clear from this discussion. I'm assuming all of the office holders are listening to us now, so I think that's clear, you know, without any kind of trigger or anything in the resolution itself.
Point taken. Any more discussion?
On the, this is Jim Gresham, on the B, offer retirement packages where appropriate. Has there been any, Dr. Zimmerman or whoever, has there been any thought to what that package might entail?
This is Carol. I could probably address that a little bit. I know of about six packages. And they vary depending on the office and the office holder, but I know about six offers have been made, and I believe at least five of them have been accepted. So there has been some movement in that area.
What is the package?
It could be anywhere from, you know, we'll pay your health insurance for a month to, you know, just whatever incentives they feel they need to entice someone or to, you know, meet the request.
So it's not a countywide package.
No, it's not. It's not a set thing. It would be office holder dependent.
And Mr. Gresham, I think also keep in mind it would also be somewhat dependent on the individual negotiation with the person being approached. So, you know, for some people, a little bit more enticement is necessary than others, and then the office holder has to make a decision whether that enticement is worth the trade-off. So, I mean, there are a lot of variables in there, but it also goes down to the employee.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion?
I just, Mrs. Zimmerman, let me make sure I get to, so if we're 200,000 short last month, then your ordinance is that the office holders cut 200,000 the following month, correct?
Right, essentially. It's a little bit more of a projection, but yeah, essentially that.
Okay, now the 200,000 was just in general fund. Are we going to add like the fees up, the court fees, and are we going to go off everything that Coven's has created for that month, or are we just?
Oh, for the general fund, if we can estimate it, but just this would just be for the general fund.
Okay. And then if they don't, we don't put the trigger in place, the office holders have listened to us, but we will take action the following month if they don't. Is that correct?
Right. That seems to be the general consensus of everybody. Yeah, I mean, we have that right. And, you know, and again, these are estimates, so the numbers might not be exact. But, I mean, if we're way off the mark, yeah, then we can go ahead and take action as a board. We still have that right.
So this is Chairman. So in a sense, next month we'll have action.
Right, we would get a report by the next Finance Committee meeting.
Okay.
Right.
Any further discussion?
I'll entertain a motion. Pass the resolution.
Have a second?
I'll second it.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
There's no need for a closed session, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Baggett. Next meeting will be 6/29/2020. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
I have one quick question. I saw on the agenda for the full board meeting that there were some intergovernmental agreements that had come through finance. Is that something we voted on previously, or did we need to? It wasn't on the agenda for today's meeting, but it's on the agenda for tomorrow's meeting.
Mr. Baggett's going to address that.
Dr. Zimmerman, those intergovernmental agreements were considered and approved by the Finance Committee at a earlier meeting. I want to say it was early 2020. It could have been late 2019. But they.
Yes, I know what you're talking about now. Thank you. Now I remember. Yep,
it was a master agreement that was agreed to by the Finance Committee, and now they have been specified out between the townships.
Right, yep.
Okay, now we entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those same sign. Motion carries.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.